Now I work for an insurance company, and it's so much fun.
I believe you.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich are back in team training ahead of the Champions League return, but it looks like they'll be heading into those games without Benjamin Pavard, one of their most used players this season. With just one friendly match waiting ahead of the Champions League match against Chelsea, Hansi Flick has a big decision to make as to how he'll replace the Frenchman. Beyond that, there are still many decisions to be made as to how Bayern will line up next season, and still little indication as to what the future holds for guys like David Alaba and Thiago. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, hello.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Yeah, and so lots to talk about, but at the same time, there hasn't been too much development since we last spoke, two or three weeks ago, right after Bayern signed Leroy Sané. But a lot of you guys, a lot of the listeners, have been asking for us to kind of give a transfer update as to what's going on at Bayern Munich. And in short, there really is no update. A lot of movement would be happening usually, but it's not happening due probably to the Champions League delay. But basically, the most recent thing that we have is that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge has confirmed that Thiago is all but gone. But it seems that he's still hopeful about David Alaba. So, Sebastian, we're kind of in the same spot as we were last time. But how would you assess what Karl-Heinz Rummenigge recently said? Does it kind of seem like both of them are leaving? Maybe one's staying, one's going. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really kind of open to a lot of interpretation there. We have had a lot of these kind of vague comments where it's more about what we hope is going to happen and not so much about any kind of facts that there are really. So, but I kind of take it the same way you hinted at, I suppose. I think this looks very much like Thiago is gone, kind of, barring things completely falling apart due to money, I suppose. So that's how I see the Thiago situation. And with Alaba seems like kind of a 50-50 situation to me. I would really hope it's somewhat better than 50-50, but trying to be honest with myself here, and I think it really might be 50-50. That's kind of what it sounded to me when I read those comments. So, yeah, not great, really not so great, because I'm not sure that I want to lose Alaba, but I'm even less sure that I'm happy to lose both of them. I mean, if we really had to lose Alaba, I guess I would prefer at least keeping Thiago at that point, even if there are different players for different positions. But yeah, there has to be some kind of balance with young players you're trying to get in there and older players that are kind of leaders for you, that bring in the experience you want. And yeah, I think if we lose both of them, who are both, yeah, they both have a lot of experience to share. They have seen play at every kind of level, at the absolute top. And yeah, have won a lot. You kind of don't want to lose those people when they are still capable of playing at their best level they ever have. They are kind of still at their very peak. And then, yeah, that's just a bad combination when you use two players like that. And especially in a transfer market that is as wild as this one is right now. It's a bit tough actually to say that. I feel like saying you're kind of late in the transfer period, but on the other hand, we're kind of not. I mean, we're kind of, well, there's a whole new transfer period exactly. To come in this transfer period. I hope you heard my air quotes there. And yeah, that this is kind of weird because it feels late and it also feels kind of early. So it's kind of hard to go with your gut feeling there because it's, your compass is completely off at that point. So yeah, it's a weird situation.
Yeah, I mean, the Bundesliga wrapped up, several weeks ago, whereas the Premier League just ended yesterday, and their transfer window is going to be open at least until October. So it is sort of this weird feeling that it does feel like we should be kind of late into a window when really, in a lot of ways, we're just getting started for many teams. But let's talk about David Alaba for a second, because I think you're right, Sebastian. A lot of fans have probably come around to the idea that, okay, Thiago's gone. But a lot of people are like, okay, just let us keep Alaba. We'd hate to lose both in one transfer window. And Garrett, a lot of the reports are saying that the disagreement isn't necessarily that Alaba wants to leave as much as it is that he just feels like he should be getting paid a little bit more. And that's rubbed some people the wrong way, given everything that's going on right now. But if the reports are to be believed, he wants to be, you know, one of the highest paid players at the club. So what are your thoughts on that, Garrett? Does he kind of have the right to ask for that, given his status at the club and how long he's been here? Or is it a little bit disappointing for you?
I mean, I think it's certainly fair, I think, to expect that you could see a pay raise, especially after you've changed positions again and became one of the better center backs that Bayern have had this season and all that. I mean, I think that there is there needs to be a little bit of caution in asking for significant pay raise when with everything that's going on with the COVID stuff and you know, clubs are losing money and people, you know, are losing jobs, things of that nature. So you do need to be a little bit sensitive and careful to all that. But I also think that there is an aspect where for him, if he's looking to have a contract beyond just this year, you know, if you're expecting things to kind of bounce back, you don't want to set yourself up on a bad deal for future years because of how crazy this certain year has been. And certainly it's a little disappointing to if that's going to be the reason that he ends up leaving Bayern, but mostly just because that's we want to keep him around, right? So I don't know. It's a little hard to say too how disappointed in him we can be on this and how much of it is his agent. I know he mentioned that it's pretty much the agent and the club talking right now, and it doesn't seem like he's really much involved. But certainly his interests are being put out there, and whether he would, you know, nuance them a little bit more, or maybe they could work out something where he takes he maybe starts out under what he was hoping to have on a weekly wage to start out, and then it kind of goes up from there. Who knows? But yeah, it was a little bit at first a little bit shocking to see that he was. It was a weekly wage issue more so than it was even just wanting to go on to something different. But I can't say I blame him for wanting to get as much as he can out of it. And certainly the big clubs that he had mentioned in Spain are ones that would be more likely to give him a wage like he's wanting. So I don't fault him too much. It's a little disappointing because obviously we want to keep him around, and you do have to be a little sensitive with everything that's going on. But you know, I'm fairly confident Bayern will get something done with him, just because I just can't imagine him not finishing the better part of his career here. But who knows? This whole year has been wild. I mean, Sebastian, you're talking about the transfer window, and it feels like what even is time at this point? You know, it's all kind of blurred together. And I was just thinking about it today before we got on the call that it's crazy that we haven't seen Bayern play for almost a month now already, and we're already talking about them coming back next week. So yeah, it's just crazy times, and hopefully something gets done with Alaba soon.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. It was weird to see that so much of the delay was down to money. But you know, if you think about it, at the same time, you know, why wouldn't David Alaba ask to be paid the same as guys like Thomas Muller and Lewandowski and Neuer? He's been a starter for this team since like 2012. He's been a mainstay in the starting 11, playing several different positions, but always being, you know, one of the guaranteed names that you're going to see in the starting 11. So, you know, part of me thinks if anyone has the right to start asking for more money right now, it's definitely got to be him. But Tim, do you think maybe the fact that there's not really a team that he's interested in that can also buy him is playing into everything that's going on right now? Because a lot of reports are saying that he only wants either Real Madrid or Barcelona. Well, neither of them are interested in him, or at least in this window. They may be interested in next window when he's for free. But, you know, Man City has approached and Bayern turned that offer down. Other teams have approached, but Alaba wasn't interested. So do you think maybe that plays into what's going on?
Yeah, it's quite fortuitous that, you know, the biggest risk that we have of losing, you know, one of our main academy guys, just from like the whole, again, that quintessential Tim Richards loves a good storytelling moment. From that perspective, it would be great to see him stay his entire life at Bayern. Okay, he had that season at Hoffenheim. It is quite fortunate that the places where he would likely go, because let's be honest, he could walk into most squads and be a really valuable asset. Mm-hmm. Even like top squads, that like he could, I'm not his biggest fan, but I'd fairly certain he could easily bench Andy Robertson. If not at left back, then he'd be a great foil next to Virgil van Dijk. Liverpool are, you know, one of the best teams in the world right now. He would comfortably get into that team. Even a team like Manchester City, who, you know, are desperately trying to every single season like rebuild this team that apparently didn't really need building, but then at the same time desperately needs rebuilding. I can't keep up. He would be a valuable asset to them. I think he's probably better than Benjamin Mendy going forward and in defence. But then obviously the two teams that you've mentioned of Real Madrid and Barcelona have been so badly managed recently that if he was to go there, it would be for a price that, you know, Bayern couldn't even begin to fathom. Like they are the sort of team that would spend, you know, like 500 million. Obviously that's hyperbole, but they would spend a lot of money for a player that they wouldn't necessarily need. Like they did it with Griezmann, they did it with Coutinho. They may do it, like they could potentially do it with Alaba. But like he's not, it's not a position that they desperately need. And the same thing with Real Madrid. Like if anything, they've kind of shown that they have kind of gotten over that hump of the post-Ronaldo stress. And their defense seems to be fine as well. Like Sergio Ramos doesn't look like he's going to be slowing down anytime soon. Is it Eder Militao? I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. He seems to be more than capable of filling in when Marcelo eventually retires. If anything, Bayern have kind of lucked out by having all of the potential suitors just not really be any position to buy him. I guess like the other option would be like the FIFA classic of David Alaba goes to Juventus. I think if anybody's ever played career mode, that's like a guarantee every single year. But that's more down to, you know, EA developers not really caring too much about career mode. That's for another show. Those are like the only teams that he could potentially go to, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. In that sense, I think it is really fortunate that, I guess it's fortunate for Bayern that they can hold on to this guy because there isn't necessarily a potential suitor, but at the same time, it's kind of unfortunate that it's happened, like that Alaba is looking for this this pay rise and this improved contract at a time where everything is very up in the air and quite dubious. And I think it's kind of the same with Thiago. Like it's just a shame that their contracts have kind of, you know, you enter into the last year of their contract at just the worst possible time where there is no certainty. And, you know, you don't want to say that money's tight or anything, but it's certainly not as flowing as it once was. There's like two ways to look at it. Like the positive of, okay, cool, he's not likely to go anywhere. Then the negative of he's not likely to go anywhere now, which means that he's more than likely to leave for free next year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You just have to wait and see with these things.
Yeah, and you brought up Thiago, which is where I kind of wanted to head from here anyway, because you're right, it is very up in the air with what's going to happen, and it's sort of a weird window. Whereas usually, if Thiago wanted to put himself on the market, you'd have tons of teams just, you know, ready to buy him, ready to bring him in. But even, you know, with Liverpool, who have long been the reported main option for Thiago, every single day it's going back and forth as to, well, okay, Liverpool can't afford him, or okay, yes, Liverpool and Thiago have a deal agreed. It's so back and forth right now. Sebastian, if it doesn't work out between Thiago and Liverpool, is Bayern in a situation where now they have to go, okay, we need to find a team that can and will buy Thiago this summer? Or do you think they're better off thinking, well, let's keep him for this season and just see if maybe between now and the end of next season we can get him to sign another contract?
Yeah, that really is kind of tough, because that would put you in a situation where you really want to find out what all those young guys can do potentially at his position. If you can say, okay, we are going to let him leave with no transfer fee, or if you say, okay, none of the young guys has done enough, so we can't rely on them, so we definitely need to get Thiago a new contract. Yeah, it would be really weird, because actively shopping Thiago in a situation like this one would definitely not get you more money. It would probably get you less money than you would get from Liverpool. I can really not see another team paying us more after basically our talks with Liverpool ended because of the money. I just don't see that happening. There are just not enough clubs out there who are prepared to pay extremely high transfer fees right now, this summer, or maybe, well, kind of this fall, I suppose, or however, still kind of summer, I suppose, when the other transfer window is going to happen. So, yeah, pretty weird situation there. I mean, what are the options? It could really only be the billionaire clubs. It could be maybe a City, of course. It could maybe be PSG or something like that. But other than that, there are really not a lot of options. He's definitely too good to go to China. No offense, he's also too good and needs too much money to go to the US.
So. Way too good.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess the US is probably better than the Chinese league, right? I guess I would think so. I mean, when I ask myself where's great talent for the Bundesliga going to come from, that's definitely rather the US than China. Fair at enough. This point. So, yeah. Anyway, there are really not a lot of potential suitors for Thiago out there, and well. Once you actively have to go to them and tell them, hey, you want to buy this guy, this is definitely, well, not a good move. It's not something Bayern should do with a potential starter, I feel. It's not a good look. It's not going to be good for a good price. And when it's about the price in the first place, this is really not the route you want to go down. I mean, maybe there are other clubs that are interested. Probably we just don't know. I mean, I would say Bayern is probably still capable of keeping some of that under the radar. So Liverpool is probably in the news because, yeah, the player wants to go there, because German media is looking at Liverpool more than they are on other clubs because of Klopp, for example. So there are a lot of factors why I think, there could be other interested parties here. But if that's not one of those very big clubs, I'm not confident it is. Yeah, I would say it's either sell him to Liverpool or don't sell him at all at this point. Maybe you can make a more creative kind of deal where you send him somewhere on a loan and with a Kaufpflicht, whatever that is again in English, where they have to buy him if he plays a certain number of games or something like that. Maybe you can find a deal like that. Maybe this is going to kind of resolve the situation, because I think Bayern can afford this. I mean, obviously Corona is also about money for Bayern, but probably not so much about the short-term money as it is for some clubs. So I think Bayern should be fine. Maybe that's an option. Putting that payment off for a year or maybe a year and a half or two even. maybe something like that can be worked out where we still get the amount of money we're looking for. Yeah, but that's really the only solution I can see beyond selling him to Liverpool or keeping him, barring anything we completely don't know. Maybe there's this other club who's going to pay at least as much as Liverpool is, which I'm really not seeing.
Yeah, it is interesting because on the one hand, you have a lot of sources saying that Thiago and another club, without saying who, have already got a firm agreement. Everything's good to go there. And then on the other hand, a lot of sources are saying Liverpool has zero interest in the players. So the only way those two can line up is if there is some other club that has that agreement, like you said, and they've just been very, very good at keeping it quiet. But one thing that's really surprised me is that Kicker has especially been adamant that no matter what happens with Thiago, Bayern want to sign another midfielder, which is a typical Bayern thing to overload on midfielders. But names such as Tanguy Ndombele, Marcelo Brozovic, Eduardo Camavinga from Ligue 1, and then, you know, Barcelona's Pedri. There's just a few names that have been circulating that Bayern might have interest in. But, you know, Garrett, if Thiago leaves, do you think a replacement is necessary? Or I guess, you know, at what point, you know, of selling other players would a replacement be necessary?
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit, and that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to the guys that are being linked. Don't seem to be a Thiago replacement so much as they would be like a Tolisso replacement or something of that nature. And so it's a little bit weird to see some of these linked players. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did go and grab a midfielder. I would expect it to be, you know, kind of a bargain buy, you know, buy a young guy up and coming before he, you know, really takes off, or kind of what we've been seeing them do. I look at the squad that they have right now, and I think even if you take Thiago out of the mix, you still got a really strong club, and you probably want to, you know, obviously, as we'll talk about later, you want to get some right back depth, and you want to if you're going to get anybody in the midfield, like you said, you're going to want it to be somebody who can kind of play that Thiago role. But yeah, I don't know. I just haven't seen any of the names linked that seem really like a fit and really like anything more than just rumors for rumors' sake. But I mean, Kicker has a pretty good reputation, I think, and so they might have some insight into the situation. But yeah, it would be a little surprising to me if Bayern signed another midfielder, especially if Thiago stays. But yeah, I guess I don't know, like who out there that's being kind of bandied about as a guy who might be moving clubs, who out there would we even really want at this point? If not, we're not going for Kai Havertz. I don't know too many names that are out there, period, that I really feel like need to be signed and would come right into the first team and get significant playing time. So I doesn't, especially given the financial situation of all clubs and stuff, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Right. Yeah. I kind of see it the same way. If another name's being brought in, I think that definitely points to, that Bayern still want to sell Kroos and Tolisso, which is something that was heavily indicated, you know, several months ago before, the coronavirus hit and everything. So if Thiago and Tolisso both go, I can see someone coming in, but even still, you know, Adrian Fein is just coming back from his loan at Hamburg. We've seen what Mikael Kisons can do towards the end of the Bundesliga season. And so my thought is, you know, if we're looking at these young guys, that's all well and good. But we just brought in a young guy last season in Kisons, and we've just started to give him minutes. At the same time, Adrian Fein is a very exciting young player. So, you know, Tim, do you think maybe Hansi Flick just doesn't trust Fine or Kisans to that level, or do you think actually Bayern are looking more for someone who can very, you know, easily replace Thiago and take that spot, if not starting alongside Joshua Kimmich week in, week out, at least fighting, you know, with Leon Goretzka to take that spot.
I don't know how much of it comes down to Flick's faith in the future, in like potential stars and youngsters coming through. Because so I don't have the stats in front of me. I'm thoroughly unprepared like that. But he never really seemed to have a great vision in terms of rotation. Like, okay, one of Kovac's biggest criticisms, there it is. It took me a while. I got his name in today. It took Kovac like a huge amount of almost kind of like bullying from like the press and from the higher ups to say you're rotating too much, and then he didn't rotate at all, and now Flick is barely rotating. It's the same back line. Okay, when Thiago was injured, the midfield pairing became Goretzka and Kimmich. I can't help but feel that next season, now that Flick has that certainty of his own future, I can't really see him changing it. I can see that Kimmich and Goretzka, if providing Thiago leaves, of course, I can see them being the starters, and everything else is just kind of like a happy bonus for the players. I don't know where Adrian Fine is going to fit in, if it's going to be like a regular thing. I know that Pep Guardiola went a string of, was it like 20 something games, putting out a different team every single week. I would love to see that, because like we've got a fantastic squad, and it means that people like Tolisso, they're not going to get the playtime that they kind of need to get back into the swing of things. Like, I've seen so much criticism of Alvaro Odriozola, because they're saying, oh, when he plays, he's trash. Of course he's trash. He's not played for a year. Like, he's come in with very little game time from Real Madrid. He's not going to be putting in world-class performances, because he's just not getting any time at all. And so I think that's kind of, I think before you think about like, okay, like who's going to be getting, and like who can we get in to take over from Thiago? Does that, like, I think the question then becomes like, is there really going to be any need? Because if we're going to have like this almost like locked in pairing of Kimmich and Goretzka, you really only need like two backups maximum. And that would be, you know, hypothetically, if Thiago and Tolisso leave, that would be Kiesaunts and Adrian Fine. Everything after that just kind of becomes almost academic. I think like Nianzou has played as a defensive midfielder before. But I don't know, it seems a bit almost futile, I think, because considering how little rotation there's been, like when the competition was still on, like before Bayern had the league confirmed, it just kind of seems like it doesn't really matter at all. But maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just how I've interpreted it.
One thing that I kind of wonder, though, too, as you're talking about it, we're all talking about this, and everybody's talking. It's just maybe the thinking is that in the event, because we know that we need a right back, we need a depth right back, and especially now it's more apparent because Pavar is injured. And one of the options that's being bandied about is, do you move Kimmich back to right back and put someone else in midfield? So maybe the thinking is that you have your right back depth in Kimmich. It's not ideal, but neither is losing your starting right back. And maybe the thought is that if they can move Kimmich into right back and have one of the still have one of the better right backs in the world, and then plug in a midfielder that you feel a little bit more comfortable with, then maybe a Fine or a Kiesaunts, or even a Tolisso at this point. Maybe that's kind of the thinking behind the rumors. I don't know that that's what Bayern would be thinking, but that's the only real way that I can like really envision it making a whole lot of sense to go after a midfielder rather than just a right back, because I mean, we've been talking about right back forever, and maybe they just want to go with the strongest right back that they possibly can for depth, which would be Kimmich in most cases, I would guess.
At the same time, though, I think if that was the case, Kimmich would just start at right back, because Pavard's great, but Kimmich is better at right back. I just think we're to the point now where there's no chance Kimmich moves back to right back on any sort of permanent basis.
Yeah.
For one, he definitely doesn't want to. Two, he's incredible as a defensive midfielder. He controls the game so much better. I mean, we've had this conversation over and over. So I do get where you're coming from. But at the same time, I can't think that's the thinking. Even so, there are still those right back rumors coming out. Like today, Norwich City's Max Aarons was linked with Bayern, which I do think would be an awesome purchase, a rotational type of right back with Pavard. But yeah, otherwise it is kind of difficult to make sense of all of these midfield rumors. But since we're already talking about right back, Pavard is injured heading into the UCL games. Bayern said he's out for the time being, which doesn't really give us any indication of how long that will be, but it does seem like he's definitely going to miss the game against Chelsea, maybe even a little bit more. So the question now is, Sebastian, how does he fix this? Because we can't just buy a player to plug in. Essentially, you have the two choices of we play Joshua Kimmich at right back and mix up the midfield a little bit, or we bring in Odriozola to play as right back. So what are your thoughts, Sebastian? Would you move Kimmich back, or do you put some faith in Odriozola, who has hardly played 5 or 10 games of football in the past year?
Yeah, it's really a tough choice because these are two things you really don't want to do exactly. But on the other hand, both of those players should technically be very capable of dealing with this situation. I mean, Odriozola is not a nobody. He's really a highly skilled player who's right at home at this position. And also Kimmich, of course, we don't have to talk about how great Joshua Kimmich can be as a right back. So it's a bit weird because it looks like, two great options, but really none of them makes me happy at all. Because, yeah, you mentioned that the whole problem with Odriozola really is that he didn't play any games, basically. The problem with Kimmich is that you really want him in central midfield, so it doesn't really leave you with a lot of options. I guess three at the back is also not really an option, because that's the other idea you could come up with, kind of. But, yeah, don't see that happening either. So, yeah, it really is a tough call. I guess I would hope you can go with Odriozola, but it's really tough to say because we haven't really seen much of him. Flick would probably know better. I mean, he's going to see him in training all the time. So I'm ready to say if Flick trusts him, I'm going to trust him too. But yeah, other than that, it's really hard for me to say, yeah, no problem, put Odriozola on, because I'm just not able to say what he's able to do right now. It's really very, very tough. It's a shame, yeah, that we have so many great options on the left side, but none on the right, really. Because on the left side, I would trust Alaba there, I would trust Davies there, I would trust Hernandez there. Well, I would not completely trust Hernandez, but I would trust him more than Odriozola by far. So it's kind of a shame that none of them can really play the other side, because that would save us a lot of trouble there. We talked about that, right? Or you guys talked about that before. It's the same old problem. On the one hand, we are not a club that has been rotating all that much recently. On the other hand, we have been really injury prone, and those two things just don't go together very well. If you know that you're going to have problems with injuries, if that's a thing you're dealing with year in, year out, that's just another reason why you really need to rotate, why you really need to give all those players some playing time. Because then if someone gets injured, okay, the player who has played 50% of the games now plays 100% or 90% of the games. No big deal. But yeah, with Odriozola in this example, he just goes from 0 to 100, basically. And that, of course, is a much bigger deal. But yeah, we cannot resolve this right now. This has happened. There's no changing that. So we'll have to deal with what we have right now. And yeah, for me, it's a very, very unsure Odriozola, I guess.
You brought up a name that I forgot to mention, and that's Lucas Hernandez, who some have been saying we could be seeing take Pavard's spot in the lineup. I think in the 2017 Champions League final or something like that, Lucas Hernandez played as a right back. So does anyone think that would be a better idea than either of the other two options mentioned? Or is that maybe a bit too risky?
The thing that I just keep thinking is, thank goodness there's still that second leg of the Chelsea mm-hmm. tie to be played, because you can kind of, even if no real disrespect to Chelsea, kind of a jokingly disrespect to Chelsea, but the fact is that Bayern have a 3-goal on aggregate lead, and they're all 3 away goals, and so my guess is you're pretty safe to even if you wanted to try something for the first 45 minutes, see how it was going,
mm-hmm.
and then try something different the second 45, and really kind of get a better feel. My suspicion is that Hansi Flick knows what he wants to do and has a pretty good idea of what's going to work. I don't necessarily say that I would trust Hernandez more than Odriozola, except for the fact that Hernandez has played, and mm-hmm. and so it's a little easier to see that succeeding, just simply because we've seen it, and not that Odriozola has played poorly in the you know few minutes that we've seen. It's just a little bit more of an unknown, I guess.
Yeah, I think we'll really probably get our answer on Friday against Marseille in the friendly. If Hansi Flick starts experimenting, then we can maybe think that he'll do a little bit more experimenting against Chelsea. But if it's either Odriozola or Kimmich at right back, I think that's probably what we can expect. Since we're on the topic of the Champions League, between now and the last time we recorded, the bracket has been released as to how the rest of the Champions League season will play out. And it really wasn't too kind for Bayern. It actually wasn't too kind for any of the better teams left in the tournament. So if Bayern beat Chelsea, they either have to play Barcelona or Napoli, depending on who wins that. And then if they move on from that game, it's either Real Madrid, Man City, Juventus, or Lyon. So Tim, with you know kind of that bracket in mind, do you think Bayern should still feel like they're the favorites in this tournament? Because I think that a lot of us did feel like Bayern are the favorites, or maybe the confidence has been taken away a little bit.
I think they're certainly favorites for this round, of course, because they've got a 3-goal advantage. I think after that, between Barcelona and Napoli, now is probably the best time to face either of these teams. A few years ago, Napoli were a very dangerous outfit when they were managed by Maurizio Sarri. They had like Lorenzo Insigne, and when he was kind of like at his absolute best, and Dries Mertens when he moved into the middle. And like both these players are still there, but they don't quite have the same. They're much older now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like 3 or 4 years older, and that takes out of players. As for Barcelona, I would love to see what Bayern can do against Barcelona right now. They are an old team, inexplicably getting older. Like their whole like transfer strategy and business acumen is just, oh man, it is woeful. And it's great. I personally love to see things like that. Between those two, I'm kind of very much ambivalent as to what happens next. Messi is Messi, of course, but Suarez isn't the Suarez that he was. Griezmann isn't the best player coming out of France right now. Like, this is a team that has got just really quite terrible, I don't know if you can call it like confidence issues. I don't really know what it is. I think it is just a matter of nobody there seems to know what to do. Okay, we'll give it to Messi. And I think he's probably tired more than anything else. After that, though, like beyond those teams, teams like Man City are still doing outrageously well. But then, okay, so they, I think they have like a one goal advantage over Madrid. I think, is that still? Yeah, that, mm-hmm. that game still has to be played. That can kind of go either way. The way that Madrid finished their domestic campaign kind of doesn't really lead you to think, oh, it's going to be fine. They don't have Ronaldo anymore. They don't have Ronaldo. They've still got Ramos. They've still got a really like a really strong midfield, and their attack is getting better and better. This is probably the best season that Benzema's ever had,
right?
Because he has that freedom now. And guys like Marco Asensio are back. Like, he's a really strong big game player, sadly. Like they kind of had like a similar thing when buying like a 28, 29 year old Eden Hazard, with the same way that Barcelona bought 28, 29 year old Antoine Griezmann for a lot of money, and it didn't really work out as effectively as it was supposed to. But thankfully for Real Madrid, they've got guys like Vinicius and Rodrigo and like just a bunch of really talented players, like really young talented players who are getting better and better. I think they can't be ruled out anymore, because it's like, oh, well, they don't have Ronaldo, they don't have that cheat code. I think they are still, well, I don't know if they are still, but they certainly are again one of the favorites to go further in the team, in the competition, I should say. Yeah. As for Juventus and Lyon, that's a game that just simply doesn't matter anymore. The Juventus team are kind of scraping through. They're doing what Real Madrid used to do with Ronaldo, where he would just kind of like pull them through. And obviously they've got guys like Dybala and De Ligt has been playing really well for them, but otherwise it is just kind of hope for the best.
Yeah, I think you're right in that it's either Real Madrid or Manchester City, whoever comes out on top of that game, is kind of stands out as the team that Bayern should be the most worried about, that's standing in their way of the final. Because the other side of the bracket, a lot of small teams, they could be meeting anyone in the final. And you almost get the feeling that semifinal match is going to be the really tough one for Bayern Munich. And, you know, with this one-off format, I think it can be a little bit concerning that something strange, you know, might happen. Whereas over two legs, usually you would think the better team comes out on top. But definitely something to watch, and definitely exciting that we almost have Champions League football back. Just one more thing to talk about, and I definitely have to come to Garrett for this one. The 2020 Ballon d'Or has been called off due to everything that's going on. You kind of have to feel like Robert Lewandowski has been ripped off here, because I think if anyone was the favorite to win the award, it was him. So, Garrett, do you think that he's got to be feeling really upset? And how do you think he'll react to this? Do you think this will be kind of a motivator for him to go on and push and win the Champions League? Or will this really kind of disappoint him a little bit and maybe bring him down?
It's an absolute disgrace. It's the worst thing that's happened to Bayern since who knows. But no, it's it was one of those things that I was kind of like, oh, well, that stinks, because, you know, Bayern actually were probably going to have a player win that award. But it's for me, it's like not that big of a deal, because we've talked about it. It maybe not having it for a year will make the award kind of not be such a big deal anymore, because it does seem like if it's not Messi or Ronaldo winning it, then, well, we can't have it. So, although I guess Modric won it last year, right? But anyway, I think that it will motivate him. I think we've kind of talked about it in channel about how, like, he plays well when he's angry, and he plays well when he's got a little bit of extra motivation than just let's win this match. And I think he'll be looking to proving people that this wasn't, he's not done. The season's not over. He's not done yet. And I mean, it just fits the season, doesn't it? I mean, that, you know, Bayern have Lewandowski playing the season of his life. They're looking like they're going to win the or they have a really good shot at the treble, and now they're taking awards away. So, you know, if it were me, I would let it just kind of roll off my back and just be like, whatever, not a big deal. But that's why I'm not a top athlete in the world. I think a lot of athletes, I mean, you watch stories about Michael Jordan making up slights so that he has more motivation to really get the best out of himself. And I think we'll see Robert Lewandowski in the Champions League, that we haven't seen before. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he plays, as a result of this snub.
Yeah, it'd be awesome for him to, I guess, like, finally put to bed the whole Lewandowski isn't a big name player stuff to bed with, you know, scoring and all of the remaining games that we have left. So that would be really nice. And I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist guy, but you do sort of get the feeling that if it was Messi or Ronaldo who was in the prime position to take home the award, that they wouldn't have canceled it. But, you know, maybe that's just me. So Bayern have a friendly on Friday, but then the Champions League picks back up the following Saturday against Chelsea. And then things really pick up from there. The Champions League finishes out and we roll straight into the new season. So there's a lot coming up in the next few weeks, but that's all the time that we have for this one. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod and reach out to us there, or you can email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.